Welcome back to season two of This Modern Brand, the podcast where we pull the curtain back on some of America's most influential brands to break down their strategies, values, and innovations. Hello, I'm your host, Jason Parks, and today I'm joined by our Chief Client Experience Officer. What a title, Steph. Stephanie Parker, say hi.
Hi, Jason. I'm thrilled to be here because I got to admit, when I heard who our guest was, I decided to sneak into this recording and get on the train. So thanks for having me.
You bet. And we do have a good one. It's worth sneaking in on. I want to introduce you all to David Edelman, who is a senior lecturer at Harvard Business School, an executive advisor and board member to brands and technology providers, and an advisor to BCG. Welcome, Dave.
Pleasure to be here, Jason and Stephanie.
Well, and I know previously, David, you were chief marketing officer at Aetna, and that there you got to work with dozens of companies on personalization, AI, agile marketing, and really bring that focus to both BCG and Digitas. So we're excited to hear more about that today. I think you've also been repeatedly named by Forbes one of the top 20 most influential voices in marketing, and Ad Age named you top 20 chief marketing and technology officer.
Yeah, true. It's been quite a journey. So a journey that's led to my latest book, my only book, that's coming out October 15th. I have a feeling we'll be talking about that.
Sweet. Tell us the title.
So the title is Personalized Customer Strategy in the Age of AI. And it's co-written with Mark Abraham, who runs BCG's marketing practice. He and I have been partnering in this area for almost 3 years now. But the actual concept goes back to 1989, before the internet. Yes, that's how old I am. I was.
You could see AI coming back then.
Well, kind of, yeah. I was a young consultant actually at BCG at the time. This was before I eventually left. And I had worked on three projects just coincidentally where companies were asking us, what can we do with data we're starting to collect about consumers? One was Citicorp, who was running loyalty programs, AT&T, who was getting telecom data, and Time Inc. magazines, which existed then, trying to think about advertising. And so I came up with the term we called segment of one marketing and wrote an article about it. It got liftoff. It made my career because then I started helping with clients move towards something that was, you know, getting more and more personalized. And gradually, of course, the internet happened. You know, digital channels, database capabilities, content management systems, and now AI. So it really seemed like the time was right to crystallize a lot of what I've been seeing and mesh it with what Mark's been seeing into a book, because we can do personalization at scale a lot more easily now.
Well, and you mentioned your writing partner, Mark Abraham. You both together emphasize the five promises of personalization in the book. Could you break down for us and our listeners how these promises work and explain maybe how they work together to create those meaningful customer connections?
Yeah, sure. So the book goes through essentially, it's all structured on a simple framework to help companies think about what it takes to deliver personalization. And I'll just rattle off the five promises quickly, and then I'll come back with a bit more detail. So the five promises are, first, empower me. Help the customer actually get something done that's new and valuable because of customer information you have. But in order to do that, you have to know them and have data that you're using appropriately. Given that data, you have to reach them in a way that isn't going to be intrusive or obnoxious. And when you reach them, show them an experience that is going to feel personalized to them. And then as you gather more data and test and learn, delight them. Show how you're using that relationship and the exchange of information to make their experience better. So all of these work together. Empower me, know me, reach me, show me, delight me. So let me give you an example of how a lot of this really fits together. So a few years ago, and this was actually before the Gen AI movement, I lived in Lexington, Massachusetts, and they gave an incentive in the town for people to get solar panels on their home. That led to an avalanche of just crazy marketing, trying to get people to buy solar panels and get them installed by various people who were promising 40% off this. And it was just a barrage. But one physical piece of mail reached me and said, Edelman household at this address, we've done the math, and you can save over 20% on your annual energy bill by getting solar panels from us. The company was called Sungevity. There's a personalized URL in this envelope that can explain how. That was intriguing. Typed in the URL, saw a Google Earth image of the roof of my house with solar panels superimposed on it. Next to it, a calculation based on my longitude and latitude and the east-west orientation, north, south, east, west of my house, and the number of panels on how much energy those panels would generate. But then they needed the denominator to get to 20%, at least 20%. They went to Zillow, got the square footage of my house, and used that to estimate how much energy over the course of the year I would use. So they had the numerator from the solar panels, the denominator from Zillow came out to 21.3%, which they guaranteed. Then they said, click here to learn more. Zoom, I'm now in a video conference with a young salesperson who greets me by name. Mr. Edelman sees that I'm Mr. Edelman. I'm delighted to explain to you how you're going to be able to save over 20% with Sungevity, and then goes through the leasing options with me, having all the data right there. I did not have to explain anything. He just asked me a couple of questions about the house. So then I see the modeling. The math looks very compelling. He gives me the email addresses of two people nearby, two homes nearby that I didn't know those people. And he says, you know, they're Sungevity customers. I email them. They're very praiseworthy about it. And so I did it. And I didn't even look at a competitor. Okay. They had me. That is a commodity, solar panels, but they made it an experience. And then on an ongoing basis, everything is managed through an app where I can track my solar consumption. When a squirrel ate through the wires, I got a notification, and then we coordinated when they'd come to fix it. And it was all just seamless. So you can see all those different things in there. So they empowered me to sort through how the hell to buy solar panels. They're not actually that simple with all the taxes and the rebates and all of that. They reached me at the right time. They used public data that was not creepy or offensive to know me. They showed me a visualization of my house and of the data. And over time, they started actually giving me recommendations through the app of ways I can save more through solar, smarter things. So all of that fit together for what really was a personalized experience. It wasn't manipulative marketing. It wasn't inappropriate use of data. It really made a difference in a commodity market.
That is a perfect example. I was going to guess that you ended up getting the solar panels, so I'm glad you said
yes.
You did. So that's a great example of, you know, leading the five promises of personalization. I'd love to understand a little bit more within that. How has AI specifically shifted the landscape for businesses trying to connect and trying to personalize? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Everyone is talking about generative AI and how you can generate content, and people think, oh, you can generate personalized content for each person. But there's a lot more to personalization than just generating what you think are personalized content. So a few things. First of all, in terms of knowing your customer, AI can actually help you collect more data about somebody, such as digitizing all the interactions that you have in a call center. So people call in, they are talking, that voice becomes data. So you can digitize that exchange. You can understand what I called in about, why I called in, my attitude, even the kind of language I use, how articulate I am, what I may have seen if I referenced an ad, what problem may I have had before. All of that can become data about me that you can use in terms of how to treat me differently. AI can also write code. Generative AI writes code. And there are now systems, one is called Rosetta from a company called Narrative, that can look at one database and understand its schema, look at another database, understand its schema, and then write the code to combine them in a third data repository. And so imagine now taking different data sets around your company, from marketing, from customer service, from product usage, from sales, bringing that from billing, bringing that all together, using a tool like that to then spot opportunities of customers who may be falling off in terms of not using your product as much, who may be surging. All kinds of different triggers you can find out. They're having customer service problems in one channel. You can bring together channel data. And all of that now gives you a richer base of information. Then AI can take that big base of information and analyze it and find triggers, abnormalities, behaviors that aren't typical, and use those as triggers, as moments to reach out. Then generative AI can actually generate what the content would be to reach out to somebody. And then on the back end of that, again, machine learning can actually look at all of the different ways people respond to different content and use that to update the models for what content to send. So I talked through a number of different AI capabilities there that aren't just generated, like the conventional way people right now are talking about generative AI, like going into chatbots or generating content. Those are important. Those are very real, and they're going to expand in capabilities. But we should keep in mind that there's a broader palette of AI capabilities that you can draw upon.
Love that. I mean, I think to that point, we're hearing that personalization requires a pretty complex ecosystem of tools and data. Do you have any advice you would give to companies and CMOs and CTOs who are looking to build and also future-proof their personalization engines as that technology expands and as customer needs continue to evolve?
Yeah, so a few tips. Number one tip, data, data, data. So thinking about a data-oriented culture that is thinking very deliberately about what data do we naturally collect through our interactions? What new data can we collect? Like the call center I talked about. Could you even ask people questions? You know, I moved from Lexington to Cambridge. And when I did, Home Depot started just bombarding me with all kinds of things. But then they finally asked, what is the next project you're interested in? And so I said, kitchen renovation. And then things started getting way more appropriate and relevant. You can ask. So thinking about zero party data, first party data, new data you can collect, how do you bring that together? AI can enable a lot of that. So thinking about just the data as the bloodstream of operations in your company, that's number one, is really prioritizing that. Number two is experiment. A lot of the AI capabilities that are out there now can be plugged in. And because AI can write code, the interface capability of a lot of these systems is much easier than before. They can interact with more systems. So if you have a CRM That's HubSpot, Braze, Salesforce. If you want to integrate with Adobe, you can create connectors. Connectors are available from a lot of these AI tools into many of those systems. So you can test them. You can plug them in, see how they work, then figure out whether that makes sense and actually fits your needs. Different AI tools have different degrees of customization for the needs that you may have, but you've got to test and learn. And you've got to experiment all the time by trying new things. And then the third is not just testing and learning in terms of the tools, but testing and learning what works with your customers and having an approach that's saying, we're not going to take 12 weeks to get some kind of campaign out the door. We're going to try 12 hours to get campaigns out the door, because the more we can test and learn, the faster we get back more data about what works better for Jason versus Stephanie versus David. And we can use that to update our models. So thinking and all of these things, everything I said has to do with taking advantage of the capabilities of AI. So how are you expanding your data assets? How are you experimenting with new capabilities? And then how are you constantly test and learning what works for whom? So a lot of that is just about how your philosophy of operations is. It's not necessarily the exact choice of technology. You'll try new things and they'll change over time, but it's having those kinds of things as priorities.
I think you're doing an amazing job of, I think, painting a picture of what's possible and, you know, different ways to approach it. I know the book highlights several specific brands like Spotify, Nike, and Amazon. Can you dig in and share some of the ways that they've successfully integrated personalization into their strategies and what tools, yeah, you know, our listeners can take from that?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to, instead of those, just an example that I think is maybe less familiar to people. So I'm going to talk about Sephora. So Sephora is, you know, growing retailer. They're incredibly powerful in the cosmetics market. And one of the things Sephora realized was that every merchant, whether it's for face creams versus eyeshadow or different departments, were all just, they had lists, people were involved in Sephora's loyalty program, people were just getting bombarded. It was getting overwhelming and open rates were going down. So they decided to take a much more coordinated approach. So there were two degrees of things that they coordinated. One was they brought together the data on customers and used AI to bring that data together and then create prioritization models of what to reach out to whom. They used AI to manage constant testing to update those models and to know for Stephanie versus Jason, if he were a Sephora customer, what would be appropriate for one versus the other. But they went one step further and they coordinated what you would see in different channels. And that's often another place where things break down. If they sent you an email, are you seeing that same offer prioritized when you log in online, when you open up the app? If you come into a store and start talking to a salesperson and get your account pulled up by the salesperson, who can do that on an iPad? So all of that is coordinated. So no matter where you interact with Sephora, it's consistent. And that started getting higher engagement, higher take rates. Also, the salespeople felt a lot more empowered as well in the stores. And that changed the game in terms of their ability to really connect with customers. So a lot of the different kinds of AI, you can see as I'm talking how they brought that to bear, all in an effort to raise value to the consumer by being much more relevant.
Got it. That's a great example. I know Stephanie's got a really important question to ask here in a second, but before we get to that, I would love, just break it down for Where do you get, what's the best place to start for brands that are hearing this? It's like all these amazing ways to think about it, but how do I, what's my baby step? I'll reference one of my favorite movies, What About Bob? Starring Bill Murray. What's my baby step? How do I get started in this?
Yeah, so it depends on whether you're a service-based company or a product-based company. So there is a difference. If you are selling services, especially, think about where is there a frustration that customers have that can be overcome by using customer information to help them. So one of the things, for example, I was chief marketing officer at Aetna, and we knew people didn't understand their health insurance. And they're frustrated because they don't understand it. They call up, they do things that cost them more. So we said, where can we start? Let's send them a personalized video when they become a new member that explains in simple animation terms their health insurance, what they individually bought, how they can take advantage of that. And so we started there. Take a pain point and use customer information to that. We worked with a company called Sunday Sky. It was a total home run. 70% of customers watched a 3.5 minute video. Calls to the call center went down. Satisfaction went up. And people started opening our emails more often. They trusted us more. So that was something that made a huge difference. So we started with a pain point. For a product where you're selling consumer goods or something like that, it's a bit harder. And so you've got to think about it from the marketing standpoint. How can you start using customer information like the solar panel company to simplify for people, educate them on how to buy, how to use, where to buy? It depends a lot on the nature of what you're selling, but mobilizing from many different sources that you can now get information, creating something that makes it easier for your customers, as opposed to just manipulating them and just putting their name in something, for example.
I love that answer. And I love giving our listeners one way to get started. So thank you for that. Maybe the most important question of our interview on the podcast here today, where can folks get a copy of your new book?
Sure. Well, it'll be available in stores across the board on October 15th. Right now, though, you can pre-order it on Amazon. So it is available, and this way you can get a copy, Kindle or physical, right on October 15th when it comes out. And already it's nice to see pre-orders coming in. So thanks for asking, Stephanie.
Absolutely, with more to come.
Dave, are you old school? Do you still read the physical books? Are you listening to audio? Are you on your Kindle?
I am a Kindle. I use the Kindle app on an iPad, just because I travel a fair bit and schlepping books is a challenge. So I've gone through a few hundred books on my iPad. It's funny because bookshelves. I went in as a new professor. When I became a new professor at Harvard, my office had 23 bookshelves. And I'm like, what am I going to put on all these bookshelves? I don't have that many books anymore. I just moved. I really thinned down my collection. I'm much more digital.
That's great. Dave, thanks so much again for all the listeners. His book, Personalized Customer Strategy in the Age of AI, comes out October 15th. Make sure you pre-order on Amazon. And that brings season 2, episode 3 to a close. Thanks for listening to This Modern Brand, a podcast by Barclay OKRP. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. And please be sure to subscribe. For more stories and insights on how to build brands people love, visit us at barclayokrp.com. I'm Jason Parks.
And I'm Steph Parker. Thanks for listening.